Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining. And in the last hours of Thanksgiving, happy Thanksgiving. Among the many things that we have to be grateful for, and for us towards the top, this Shabbos, this weekend, is the tremendous chus, the enormous privilege of hosting and welcoming Mori v'Rabbi Rav Shechter once again to our community, who's a Rebbe, a Mora Derech, not only for me personally, for so many Talmidim within our community, but arguably for a community as a whole. Throughout the many, many years, Rebbe's always made himself available for specific shailas and general guidance, moments of crisis and moments of joy. And for that, I personally and all of us are so deeply, deeply indebted. We want to thank our sponsors for this amazing Shabbos of learning, the Or Nakiva Marcus, who sponsored a memory of Donnie Morris, Nachman, Daniel, Ben Aryeh Tzvi, and Barry and Dana Shechter, in memory of Saul Feldman, and the founding members of our community. Their neshama should have an aliyah through the many, many Divrei Torah that we'll be privileged to hear over the course of this Shabbos, including tomorrow morning. Our Erev Shabbos Kolel take place, as always, 7:30 a.m., following the 7 o'clock minyan, with Rav Shechter giving Divrei Torah on the Parsha at 8:20. There'll be breakfast at 8:40, another Shir and Halacha at 9 a.m., and then tomorrow evening, a tremendous oneg. Rav Shechter will offer reflections on American Gedolim. Shabbos morning, the Chabura. Afternoon class, Shal HaShudas. Malava Malka, Avos Zubanim. The list goes on and on. And this year, Rebbe had the privilege, and we had the privilege of celebrating a major milestone birthday. We wish him only gesund and good health and long years. But it's an extraordinary thing to have the energy to continue to come to a community and to teach this many shiurim, and to give everything to each and every one. That is our great zchus, and to another reason that we are so deeply indebted to Rebbe. We'll have the opportunity to introduce him many more times over Shabbos, and to share many more reasons that we are so grateful. But without any further ado, please rise and join me in welcoming Mori v'Rabbi Rav Shechter.
Thank you very much. Good evening, everybody. Shalom Aleichem. We all know the story of Chanukah. The Gemara quotes from the Megillah's Tainis that they used to have containers of oil in the Beis HaMikdash that was sealed, and they knew that it wasn't Tomei. And there was a period of time that the Avodah Zorah were using the Beis HaMikdash for Avodah Zorah purposes. The Chashmeraim had a whole Melchama, and surprisingly, they won the war. The odds were, it was a militarily, it didn't make sense. Rabbi Miad Miatim and so on didn't make any sense. They won the war miraculously. And then they had to make a new menorah because the old menorah was used for Avodah Zarah. They had to make a new mizbech. The old mizbech was used for Avodah Zarah purposes. So when they made the new menorah, they didn't have any oil that was tahor. And the traveling to get to the place where they would make new oil would take 8 days. It would take 4 days to travel there, 4 days to come back. So what are they going to do? There was only one container of oil enough to burn for one night. So they burnt what they thought they had for the one night, and then they weren't going to have any oil, any Tohradik oil to burn for the next 7 days. And a miracle occurred, and it lasted for 8 days. That's the story in the Gemara. So one of the great Gedolim from 100 years ago, as in the Tshuvas Beis Yitzchak, Rabbi Yitzchak Shmelkish, he was a Robin Lemberg, I think in the 1850s. So he's bothered with Akasha. The Mishnah tells us, Yosi ben Yoezer, the Mishnah in Adius, you have different Tanaim telling over Adius from earlier generations what the Psak was. So he says the Psak HaMakubal was in the Beis HaMikdash that Mashkim are not Mekabal Tumah. Mashkim in the Beis HaMikdash are not Mekabal Tumah. So if liquids are not Mekabal Tumah, so the Shemen is not Mekabal Tumah. So what do you need a miracle about? No such thing as Shemen Tumah. So what's the whole story of Chanukah all about? One can answer the question differently from the way he answers it, but he gives the following answer. He says that is correct, but Yosef ben Yoezer lived in a different period. He lived a little after the Chashmonaim. The Gemara tells us the story of the Chashmonaim was a little over 200 years before the Churban HaBayis. Yosef ben Yoezer was a little later. So he says if the Shiloh would have come up 60, 70 years later, there wouldn't be any need for any miracle. But at the time of the Chashmonaim, the Psak HaMakubal was that the Shemen is Mekabal Tumah, Mashkema Mekabal Tumah, even in the Beis HaMikdash. So since the Chashmonaim Paskin L'Halacha, even though the Psak changed 75 years later, Psak changed because of Yosef ben Yezer, But since at that time the Psak HaMekubal was that Shem and Ismakal Utamasa, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to make a miracle. But it was all a mistake. But the Psak was an error. So the answer is, it doesn't mean it's an error. We have an idea in the Gemara that Eilu V'Eilu Divrei Elokim Chayim. Many times when you have a machlokes in the Gemara, it's as if they're arguing what the facts are. They're reading a pasuk in Chumash or a Navi, and there's an argument that this happened or that happened, and they're mutually exclusive. It's either A or B. So you can't say Eilu V'Eilu Divrei Elokim Chayim. So one is right, one is wrong. After it's a machlokes, a bai v'rabbi, what did Rav Meir mean? Then you read the Mishnah, is the Girsa like this or is the Girsa like that? So one is right, one is wrong. Rameh didn't talk out of both sides of the mouth at the same time. Rameh said one thing, it didn't say two things. But if they're arguing what is the din, in abstract, what should the din be? In Chumash there's a din, so you can interpret it one way and the din will come out one way. Interpret it differently, come out a different way. So there the Gemara has a cloud. We say, Eilu Eilu Divrei Elokim Chayim. It doesn't mean that you can do whatever you darn please. You can paskin however you choose. No, we have rules and regulations how to paskin. Usually, we say acharam la'atas. If there's a machlokes, 80% of the chacham say one way, 20% say the other way. It's supposed to follow the majority opinion. I mean the one who doesn't have an opinion. The minority have to follow their opinion. Let's say the Beis Shammai, we usually outvoted. But still, we're in the majority, and the Beis Shammai, we're in the minority. So those who belong to Beis Shammai, the first klal is you have to follow the psak of your Rebbe. So if you have a Rebbe Muvok, you follow that psak, even though he happens to be in the minority. The one who's convinced that this is the din, he follows what he's convinced of. His Talmidim who follow their Rebbe, they follow his psak, even though he's in the minority. But for the rest of the Hamainam, who are neither Talmidim of the Beis Shammai nor Talmidim of the Beis Hillel, so then the Torah has a klal, acharam lahatas, you follow the majority opinion. So that doesn't mean that the minority, when we follow the majority, it doesn't mean the minority is wrong. We say that both, that there's room for both. How can there be room for both? Is it also or is it mutter? So the Ritor explains in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, what it probably means is something like this. When Moshe Rabbeinu was on Har Sinai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was teaching him all the din, and that's Hilchas Tefillin. Moshe Rabbeinu asks, what's the din in this case? Rabbeinu Shalom said, the tefillin apostle. You're not yoytzeh. What's the din in that case? The tefillin akasher. Iwa yoytzeh. What's the din in this case? So the Rabbeinu Shalom must have told him a lot of din. And it's a gray area of halacha. And it depends on one's general perspective of kol ha'Torah kula. How do you understand all the halachas? And there's room to say apostle, there's room to say kosher. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said he's going to leave it up to the decision, to the perspective of the Talmid HaChachamim in each and every generation to paskin the way they see fit. That's what it means, Eilu V'Eilu Divrei Elokim Chayim. So even though we have a psak, let's say we follow the majority, even though we have a psak, and you're not supposed to go against that psak, but it means it's considered at least like a suffix holder who is a bit of a suffix. And when you study the other opinion, let's say many times we know we paskin like Beis Hillel, and nonetheless, the Gemara has long discussions. Why did Beis Shammai hold like that? What would they say in this case? What are they wasting their time to discuss Beis Shammai's opinion? The answer is not. Beis Shammai's opinion is also Divrei Elokim Chayim. It's considered a Chefetz Shel Torah. You're in fulfillment of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah when you work hard to figure out why Beis Shammai said their opinion. Because they were entitled to their opinion. We're not allowed to follow their opinion because they were outvoted, B'Shas Maisa. But it's not that they were in error. We say, Eilu V'Eilu Divrei Elokim Chayim. It's interesting, the Gemara has an Agadita that Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Har Sinai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is writing the Sefer Torah. We don't assume that's the way it happened. HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated the Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu. He didn't write a Chumash and give it to him. But the Gemara has this imagination. The Gemara presents it as if Moshe Rabbeinu comes up to the top of Har Sinai and the Rabbeinu Shalom finishes writing the Sefer Torah, and then he's putting on the Tagim. There are certain letters that have tchatchkes on top. The letters shatnez get, shinayin, tes, nun, zayin, and gimel tzadik. So you have tagim on top of the seven letters in the Sefer Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu says, give me the Sefer Torah. We don't need the tchatchkalach. So Moshe HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no, we need the tagim, because in a few generations, in the future, there's going to be a big person, Rabbi Akiva. He's going to darshan tons and tons of halachas on the tagim. Moshe Rabbeinu said, what is it a darshan on the tagim? How can that be? So the Rebbe Shalom says, I'll show you a video. So he shows him, He shows him a video of Rabbi Akiva giving his shiur. Moshe Rabbeinu is sitting in the back row, listening to the shiur, and Rabbi Akiva is darshaning tons of halachas based on the Tagim. Moshe Rabbeinu is flipping out. This does correspond to the Torah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me in Har Sinai. What is he making up all this? Rabbi Akiva made up all these din. Until one of the students asked Rabbi Akiva, and what's a din in this case? So he says, awesome. And how do you know? No, that's halacha l'moshe m'Sinai. So he realized that at that time Rabbi Akiva was making up things. Everything was based on what Moshe Rabbeinu had transmitted. And over the generations, they developed more and more halachas. And Rabbi Akiva developed more halachas than the others because he held Yadarsh and Tagim. So that's why the Rabbanu Shalom put the Tagim in the Sefer Torah, because that's one of the Midrash HaTorah Nidresh Hispeh. So it's fascinating. The Gemara never quotes even one drasha of Rabbi Akiva. Zero. Because we don't pass like a Rabbi Akiva. We don't accept that view, that the Tagim were intended to be for Midrash HaTorah Nidresh Hispeh. So he was wrong. So why did the Rabbanu Shalom waste his time to put the Tagim? The answer is, Eilu V'Eilu D'Ibu L'Kim Chai. There was one Derech and Liman HaTorah. And the Rabbanu Shalom put in the Tagim, in case there'll be a Talmud Chacham wants a darshan like that, and come up with a lot of dinim, you can follow. He can follow that shita. But Rabbi Akiva shita was completely outvoted, so we don't pass him like that. This idea, Eilu V'Eilu D'Ibu L'Kim Chaim, seems to be based on the following. What motivated the Chachamim to say such an interesting idea? The way the Ritva explained it, that when Moshe Rabbeinu was in Har Sinai, Kodesh Baruch Hu was telling the dinim, so he said, in this din, it's awesome, that din is mutan, that din, it's a gray area of halacha, and I'll leave it up to the discretion of the Chacham and every generation based on their perspective. And there are many different perspectives. And let's say I'm looking at everybody in the room, I see the lights, the fixtures, and the tables and everything. Someone sitting in the back sees exactly everything the same, but from a totally different perspective. Someone sitting in that quarter sees everything also, but from a totally different perspective. And all the perspectives are correct. It depends where you're standing. So that's what the Rabbanu Shalom told Moshe Rabbeinu. This is a great, there were gray areas of halacha, and that's the root of all of the machloikas. The Gemara, the Mishnah, is full of machloikas. One of the commentaries says that the reason why you have a minhag to recite the Zeh Mekoymen in the morning, that's the only perek in all the Mishnah that doesn't mention any machloikas. There is machloikas there also in the Gemara. There are Tanoim who disagree, but they're not quoted in the Mishnah. It's the only perek in all of Shas that there's no machloikas. It's fascinating. So what motivated the Chachamim to develop this idea, Eilu V'Eilu D'Ibu L'Kim Chaim? So it seems probably like this. We have a klal, when you ask a Talmud Chacham, he gives you a psak, you're supposed to follow the psak. Why do you follow the psak? Because you assume that the Talmud Chacham didn't make a mistake. Some have the attitude, which is not correct. They think, no, the psak is binding even when it's an error. There is no such thing. A psak is not binding when it's an error. Remember, I used to, there was a period of time there was politics in the yeshivas. I didn't want to daven in the yeshiva on Shabbosim and Yom Tov. I used to daven in the Aguda. They had their own politics, but it wasn't a gate to me. So, in the Aguda, so the practice was that whoever is the Rosh Yeshiva and Brois Yeshiva benches Rosh Chodesh. Whether he has a good voice on that, he benches Rosh Chodesh. If he has a good voice, he davens Musa Fals, he doesn't have a good voice, just benches Rosh Chodesh. So I remember once there was a period of time that Rabbi Perlo, the one who just passed away, the head of the Aguda, he used to be the Rosh Yeshiva in Broya, so he would bench Rosh Chodesh. He wouldn't daven around. He didn't have such a good voice. So he would bench Rosh Chodesh. So one day he benched Rosh Chodesh. He said, Rosh Chodesh is going to be on Wednesday. Everybody screams out, no, Rosh Chodesh is going to be on Thursday. So he corrected himself. He said, Rosh Chodesh is going to be on Thursday. So I was sitting next to a Yekeh. They were all Yekehs there. So I'm sitting next to a Yekeh. He says, in German, he says, if it would have been in a big shul, the Rabbi Broya, but a big shul Rosh Chodesh would have been on Wednesday. This rabbi, he's a pushover. But he said, doesn't count. If he would be a real rabbi, Rosh Chodesh would have been on Wednesday. That's not so. There is a din. There's one from the 613 mitzvah. There's one mitzvah, Kviyas Haluach, Taka. When the Bezin determines when Rosh Chodesh should be, there's a din, Atem Afilu Mutim. Even if Bezin declared Rosh Chodesh an error, that remains. Kiddush HaChodesh and Yibra Hashanah, that's one and only exception to the rule. When the laws of Shabbos and Kashas and everything else, if the Psak is in error, it's not binding. So the Psak is only binding because we assume that it's correct. Why do you assume that it's correct? Human beings make mistakes. We don't believe. By the way, the Avodah Zarah, they have a principle of infallibility of the Pope. We don't have such a call. Moshe Rabbeinu made mistakes. The Chumash records Moshe Rabbeinu made a mistake and Aaron HaKohen corrected him. And we passed like Aaron HaKohen. He raised the issue with Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu gave in. He said, you're right. In the Chumash, there's an institution of Par Halam Dover Shel Tzibur. If the entire Bezn HaGadol, all the 71 members of the Bezn HaGadol unanimously voted to allow an Issur Sheyesh Bo Karis to eat a certain type of chametz on Pesach, to eat some kind of food on Yom Kippur, or to be Mechal Shabbos, whatever. And then they all realize they made a mistake and they back out. Until they changed their psak, 51% of the tzibur who live in Eretz Yisrael violated an Issur Karis B'Shegeg. So you don't require each and every person to bring a korban chatas. He said the Bezna Kol brings one korban, par halal shel tzibur, and everybody gets a kapar. So on the books, it probably never happened in the history of the world that there was a unanimous vote of the Bezna Kol to be mat. How are we ever going to have a unanimous vote by Jews? And that, the whole thing is so unlikely. And that 51% of the people are going to listen to the mistake that the Bezna Kol made. The whole thing is so far, but probably never happened in the history of the world. But on the books, we have a case in the Chumash that the whole Bezna Gadol made a mistake. We don't believe in any human being's infallibility. If Moshe Rabbeinu can make a mistake, the Pope for sure can make a mistake. Bezna Gadol can make a mistake also. So why is the Psak ever binding? Maybe the human beings make a mistake. So the Gemara said the answer is, there's a pasuk in Tehillim. Sod Hashem liyirei. HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals the secrets of His Torah to those who fear Him. So the Gemara says in the beginning of Saita, the Tanoim are talking about certain issues of marriage. So one of the Tanoim was single, Ben Aza, he never got married. He got married, got divorced the next day, whatever. The Gemara is not sure what it was, but he wasn't married for too long. So the Gemara says, how is he entitled to an opinion? He doesn't know what marriage is all about. The Gemara says his opinion was based on Saita Hashem Direyev. But the Gemara assumes that's the basis of why any psak of any human being is binding. We assume that. Probably min hashamayim. He's not. They're giving him a siyata d'shamayim that he shouldn't make a mistake. There's a famous story they tell about the Noda Yehuda. First, he was a rabbi in a little village. He was a cousin by marriage of the Baal Shem Tov, and he was against the whole movement of Hasidus. So there was a period of time that they both lived in the same little village. And then later on, Baal Shem Tov had to run out of town. They chased him out of town because he was taking a stand on too many issues. And the Rabbi Yehuda became appointed the rabbi in the big city in Prague. So when he became the rabbi in the big city, there was always a machlokes in Europe. Whenever you appoint a new rabbi, so the difference taught him in the community. Everybody wants his cousin, his father-in-law, his uncle, whatever. So there was always a machlokes when you appoint a new rabbi. So a couple of weeks after he came to town, a group of people came to ask a shaila from the slaughterhouse. So they brought an organ of the animal. Somebody knew Yerideya, and they knew that a certain case is never discussed in Yerideya. So they punctured a hole in an organ in the animal that's not discussed in the Gemara, and that's discussed in the Shulchan Aruch. And they shechted the animal. There was no trefet. They shechted the animal. And after they shechted, then they made a hole in one of the organs. So usually you can tell if the hole was developed while the animal was alive, then it's going to be full of blood over there. If the hole was developed after it's already dead, so the blood is no longer circulating. So they did it soon after, right after the shechita, so it wouldn't be noticeable. So they wouldn't realize that the whole thing was a fake. So they came to Nadi Yehuda and they asked him, Mashaila, is it a treif? And they knew that it's not discussed in Shulchan Aruch. Not discussed, Nadi Yehuda knew it's not discussed in Shulchan Aruch, so it's kasha. So he felt very uncomfortable saying that it's kosher. So he took the Yerideh, kept on flipping the pages. He wasn't looking to find it. He knew that it doesn't appear in Yerideh. Kept on flipping the pages. And then he slammed shut the Yerideh and he screamed at one of them. And he said, you made the hole after the Shechita. The whole thing is a fake. There is no shaila. He screamed at him. So he admitted that it was true. There was no shaila. So he asked him, how did you know? So he said, because when he was elected, when he was chosen the rabbi, based on the majority of the votes of the people in the Kehillah, that certain Balabas was opposed to his appointment. He wanted his cousin to be the rabbi. So the Nadi Yehuda said he always had a very comfortable feeling whenever he passed any Shaila Leheter Aliyisa. He always had a comfortable feeling as if he has a divine assistance to pass him properly. He shouldn't make a mistake. On this occasion, he felt completely lost. He felt that he's on his own. And he didn't understand, why is it so difficult for me to say the psak? The Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch don't discuss it. It's not discussed. It's not a treifa. If it's not treifa, then it's kosher. So he figured it must be that it's not a shaila. They only give the divine assistance if it's an authentic shaila. It must be that it's a fake. Why should it be a fake? So he was flipping the page. So he figured, Mistama the Balabasu didn't want me to be the rabbi. Mistama, he made a fake over here to show that the rabbi does know what the din is. So he slammed shut the other day, he screamed at him, and he admitted that it was true. So we really assume like that, that the psak of a Talmud Chacham, of the psak of a Bezna is binding, because we assume so, Hashem the Rebbe, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give divine assistance to the Talmud Chacham, that he shouldn't make a mistake. Once in a while, Talmud Chacham do make a mistake, okay? So then have to back out, they made a mistake. You don't say the psak is binding. If he'd be a real rabbi, the psak would be binding, even if it's an error. The same Balabas, who was sitting next to me, who thought that if he'll be in the big shul, so he said also about there was a certain rabbi who in New York City used to give hashgachas that would not be liable. So he would say, I have the right to eat the food, the cake, as a hechsher. If he's a faker, he's going to burn again because he gave a hashgach on the trefah. But I'm allowed to eat it because he held that psak and error is also a psak. Psak and error is also binding. But the one who gave the psak b'mezid in error, he's going to burn again if he gives psak. That's not correct. If you know that the hashgach is not reliable, so you're not allowed to eat the food, what kind of joke is that? So the shaila is, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if we assume HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives the Talmid Chachamim a divine assistance not to make a mistake, but what if you have Machlekes Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Yishmael? So Rabbi Kiva had a divine assistance to say it's mutter, and Rabbi Yishmael had a divine assistance to say that it's asar. What did Rabbi Shlom say over here? So the answer is, Taka, we assume, Eilu Eilu, Dibra Kim Chai. Unless once in a while you have a machloikis, what did Rabbi Meir mean? So Abai Barabba have an argument. How do you read the words? Rabbi Meir only said one thing. He didn't leave it in a vague area. So then one is right and one is wrong. If they have a machloikis and mitzias, what were the fact of the case? Then you don't say Eilu Eilu. That's Rashi and Tosfos and Ksubas point that out. But usually you say Eilu Eilu. So this idea, Eilu Eilu, Dibra Kim Chayim, is relevant for the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. When we study Beishamai's opinion, the Gemara has long discussions about Beishamai. We know in advance we don't pass like Beishamai, but it still constitutes a mitzvah of Talmud Torah to learn the Shitas Beishamai. And sometimes it's not only relevant for the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, sometimes it's relevant the Psak Halacha as well. Take, for example, Orlo, B'chutz Lords. The Chumash says, Parsis Kedoshim, the Chumash Vayikra, if you plant a tree in Eretz Yisrael, kisavoy al ha'aretz, when a titan called Eitz Maichel, you plant a fruit-bearing tree, v'araltam ha'losai, if fruits grow the first 3 years, a lot of times fruits will not grow the first 3 years. Doesn't grow, so ois shalom. But if fruits do grow in the first 3 years, you're not allowed to eat them, it's osa b'achil and osa b'ano. That's called orlo. So the Chumash only talks about orlo in Eretz Yisrael. What about orla b'chutz l'aretz? So we assume orla b'chutz l'aretz is a din d'araisa, but it's halacha l'moshe m'sinai. And the Chumash only speaks about kisavoy al ha'aretz. And orla b'chutz l'aretz is not included in what it says in the Chumash. Even though halacha l'moshe m'sinai is also a din d'araisa, and we should have said safek d'araisa l'chumra if you have any safek. So the Gemara has a tradition that there's a package over here, there's a package deal with this halacha l'moshe m'sinai that vada asur and sveika muta. If you have a vadai orla b'chutzlas, if you remember when you planted the tree, you know when the 3 years are up. So the first 3 years, the fruits, if anything grows, the first 3 years, they're all awesome. What if you forgot when you planted the tree? You have no way to find out the records. Or I come to a goy. A goy has a farm in Chutzlars, and I tell him, I want a dozen oranges. And every tree has a label on it, when the tree was planted. And I can easily follow the goy to make sure that he plucks off the apples or the oranges from a tree that was planted more than 3 years ago. Mar said, you don't even have to ask any questions, because that's Sofik Orla B'chutz L'Oretz is Mutter. Even if it's Sofik Shef Shalavar Bekal, you can easily follow the goy and see which tree he's pulling off the fruits from. Mar said, you don't have to. That's included in the din of Sofik Orla B'chutz L'Oretz. And not only do we consider it a Sofik Orla, when you don't know when it was planted, you don't know when the 3 years are up, if it's a machloikas hatanoim, and the majority say that it is Orla, and the minority say there's no din of Orla, that's also called a suffix. But the minority was outvoted. The Gemara says, in Eretz Yisrael, if the Rove, 80% of the Tanoim say that this is Orla, 20% say that it's Mutter, so then in Eretz Yisrael you go Basarayv, that it's Asar. But in Chutz Lords, that's enough to be considered a suffix Koldu. Since we don't say that the 20% made a mistake and they're wrong, And you have to ignore their shita. We consider it what the Ran calls a sofik holdahu. There's a slight sofik because there is a principle, Eila v'Eila d'Yiridikim Chayim. And you have an Hilchas Avelis also like that, even if one, Tosis quotes the Goyim, even if one with the whole, the Sfardim follow the Psak, that the first day of Shiva is a din of Avelis min HaTorah. Ashkenazim follow the Bali HaTosis, that all of the laws of Shiva are Roman, the Rabbanan, even Yom Rishon, even Avelis Yom Rishon. But the Sfardim follow the Mechaber and Shulchan Aruch and the Ramam and the Rif and the Goyim, that Avelis Yom Rishon is a din deraisa. So usually a din deraisa, you say sofik deraisa lechumer, but the Gemara has a din sofik avelis lekula, even if avelis is deraisa, it's still sofik. It's not because avelis is midrabbanan that it's sofik derabbanan lekula. Any slight sofik in avelis you call lekula. The Gemara says whenever there's a machlekes yochid verabim, usually yochid verabim alochik verabim, except for avelis and avelis alochik devam mekel ba'ovel. If there's a minority opinion, then you have a right to go lekula. Let's say from Moshe Feinstein is convinced that the din is Eretzasa, you can't tell him, but there are other Rabbanim who say that it's Mutter. He holds Eretzasa, Rab Soloveitchik had a lot of Chumas in Hilchas Avelis. I can't tell him, but Moshe Feinstein says L'Hokal. He's convinced that that is L'Chumra, so he has the right to say L'Chumra. But if the rabbi doesn't have his own personal tradition, doesn't have his own personal Psak on the Shaila, he doesn't have a tradition from his rabbi, he just knows in this form that there are different opinions. So even though the rabbim, even though the majority opinion is la'achmer, that it should be usher, that we say since there is a minority opinion, l'kula, so we say a suffix called it was enough to be mekel and avelis. So that's the idea of eila v'eila d'ibil kim chayim. So that's what the Beis Yitzchok writes. We mentioned Yitzchok Shmelkish writes, in the days of the Chashmonaim, the Psak HaMekubal was that Mashkim and the Beis HaMikdash HaMekabal Tumas HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the miracle because at that time, that's what they paskin. I, in another 75 years, Yosef Ben Yezer is going to come up and say he has the tradition, and we paskin like that, that Mashkim and the Beis HaMikdash are not Mekabal Tumas, period, not Mekabal Tumas at all. So what do you need a whole miracle for? That's called Eila V'Eila Dibel Kimcha. There were different opinions how to view the pasuk, the whole debate is how you read a pasuk of Chumash Chamashke Sheishasim Chol Kli Yitmo. How do you translate Yitmo? Yitmo means Mekabel Tumah, or it's Machshel Mekabel Tumah. Machlek is how to read the pasuk. So then we say Eilu V'Eilu Dibelik Mecham HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a miracle because of the Shita at that time. So it's interesting. The Torah Shebal Peh is full of Machlekes. Mishnah is like we said, there's only one Perik and Shas. Perik Hazam comes that doesn't record any machlekes hatanaim. And the Gemara says some of the dinim in the Mishnah are talib in machlekes, but the Mishnah doesn't mention any machlekes. Torah Shebal Peh is full of machlekes. But this was the great development of the Torah Shebal Peh over all the generations. These are the Anshei Knesset HaGedolim, Tanoim, the Amoraim, the Rishonim, the Goyim, the Rishonim, the Achronim, that was always full of machlekes. And we always respected each other's opinions. Eilu V'Eilu Dibel Kim Chayim. But you have to have a Psak HaMekubal. So that's why Chanukah was always known as the Yontif of the Torah Shebal Peh. The Minig in Shulchan Aruch, they write, the commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch, the Minig used to be that the parents would give Chanukah gel to their children to give to the Malamed. That was the original Minig. Then somehow it changed, and the Chanukah gel remained by the children. They never developed, and the parents gave whatever money to the Malamed on their own. But the original minik of Chanukah Gelt was the Magen Avraham quotes it from the Rishonim. The minik was that they gave money to the Malamdim by giving it to the children to develop to them. This is something tremendous. Torah Shebal Peh. There is an interesting. There are many midrashim which say the same idea. Kol Masha Talmid Vasik Osir Lechadish Nemod Ol Moshe Misina. Any Chiddush Din, every single din in Shulchan Aruch, every single din in the Mishnah Berurah was told to Moshe Rabbeinu in Har Sinai. So what are the Midrash HaTorah and the Drash HaSbam all about? So the Gaonim took these Midrashim literally. Every single din was told to Moshe Rabbeinu. So where's the room for Machlokes? Machlokes was that they forgot what the din is. And what are the Midrash HaTorah and the Drash HaSbam? What do you need it for? Klal HaPrat, Prat HaKlal, Tov Shoev HaKlal. What do you need all the Midras? Everything is told to Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Gaonim came up with this idea, the Midrash HaTorah and the Drash HaSbam, is just to check whether your oral tradition is accurate or not. So if you can't work it out with the Midrash HaTorah and the Drash HaSbam, it means that you may have made a mistake in your tradition. Maybe your Kabbalah is wrong. So the Rambam quotes this opinion in his introduction to the Pirush HaMishnayos in the back of Brachas, and he says, he doesn't agree. He said, that's scandalous. the most precious thing the Jewish people has is the Torah Sheba'al Peh, and they forgot everything. Every page in the Gemara has a machlokes. They forgot. Once in a while, okay, you can say they forgot. But every single thing was told to Moshe Rabbeinu, and then they forgot the 95% of all the Torah. How can it be? That's a bizoyin to call himself to say like that. So the Rambam says it's absolutely not true. What it means, kol mashu tamid vasi gosu l'charish nemel on Moshe Messina, means a different thing. It means Moshe Rabbeinu was given, he was dictated the text of the Chumash, dictated word for word and letter for letter. Because sometimes we darsh and dinan based on how the word is spelled. Sometimes the same word, tohor, tes hei bav reish, or tes hei reish. Or kadosh, kuf dalet bav shin, or kuf dalet shin. So the Gemara sometimes has a drasha because sometimes it's spelled molay, sometimes chaser. Rashi and Chumash just had to'omim or tomim. To'omim with an aleph or without an aleph. That's not halacha, but that the Torah Sheba'al Peh darshans on that also. How do you spell the word to'omim with an aleph or without an aleph? So we believe that the Torah was dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu word for word and letter for letter. And we have Midrash HaTorah and Jashas Ben. So what it means was the text of the Chumash was dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu word for word, letter for letter, and the principles, how to read in between lines, were given to Moshe Rabbeinu. But not every single din was given. Then the Chachamim in every generation had the right to develop the dinim the way they saw fit. So that's why there's room for machlokes. Should you say the Mashkim in the Beis HaMikdash HaTomei HaTohar? So there was room for machlokes, how to read the Pesukim of Chumash and so on. The Rambam wrote a Sefer on Mitzvahs where he lists off which, in his opinion, the Gemara tells us there are 630 mitzvahs, and many Midrashim say like that, the Taryag mitzvahs, but the Gemara never tells us which they are. So the Rambam wrote, the Rambam is not the first, he is not the last. In the days of the Goyim, we have a Sefer on Mitzvahs. The Bahad is a Sefer on Mitzvahs. So the Rambam wrote a Sefer on Mitzvahs in Arabic. Those of us who don't know Arabic rely on the Hebrew translation. There are a few different Hebrew translations. So the Rambam, the first half of the Sefer Mitzvahs, he develops 14 guiding principles that determine whether any given din belongs in the listing of the 630 mitzvahs. So one of the principles that he has is you only include mitzvahs min HaTorah, you don't include mitzvahs min HaRabbanan. Because the Gemara says 630 mitzvahs were given to Moshe Rabbeinu Har Sinai. So he wasn't given the dinim of Chanukah and Purim. That was a later generation. That's okay, that's not bad. Then the Rambam says you only include dinim based on Pshuto Shel Mikra. Anything that's based on a drosh of the Torah Sheba'al Peh doesn't belong in the Taryag Mitzvahs. So the Ramban has such an attack against the Rambam. Why? He doesn't believe that Torah Sheba'al Peh is Minat Torah. He thinks that Torah Sheba'al Peh is only with the Rabbanan. That's what the Apikursim always say. That Hillel invented the whole idea of a Torah Sheba'al Peh. Never existed. There never was such a thing. Never was a Torah Sheba'al Peh. So the answer is no, that's not why. It's the Rambam Lashitosa. The Rambam in the Hakdamah to the Pirush HaMishnayos wrote that the Beis Din in every generation has the right to come up with a new din the way they see fit. You don't need every single din was told to Moshe Rabbeinu HaSinai. Moshe Rabbeinu was given the text of the Chumash and he was given the Midas. Then he leaves it up to the Chachamim in every generation to develop by reading in between the lines. So let's say you already have 630 mitzvahs, and the Beis Din in our generation comes up with a new mitzvah based on the way they read the psukim. So they have to throw out one of the old mitzvahs. The Rambam holds in every generation, they add on more midas and more mitzvahs and more mitzvahs. You have a right, the Bezdin has a right to use the midas. So the Rambam says it must be the 630 before you use any of the midas Shatran Dreshes Ben. Based on Pshut Shal Mikra, the Taryag mitzvahs. And then every generation, the Chum could add on more. There are a million mitzvahs now, a million mitzvahs from the Torah. Forget about mitzvahs, Rambam. There are a million mitzvahs from the Torah because the Torah Sheba'al Peh. And every generation adds on more. There's even a dispute in Achreinim. The Chidor has a Sefer on Megillah Srus that's called Simchas HaRegel. The Chidor wrote many Svarim. I think he wrote over 80 Svarim, if I'm not mistaken. So he has, each Sefer is a separate, he wrote a whole bunch of encyclopedias. Encyclopedia of Halacha, Encyclopedia of Aglada, Encyclopedia of Medrash, of Kabbalah. So all kinds of encyclopedias. He lived in the 1700s. That's when all the Svardim are writing encyclopedias. They're all very good. So, the Chidor has a dispute, he discusses in his Sefer on Megillas Rus, when a Beis Din in a later generation comes up with a new Din Deraisa based on the way they read the Psukim, they use the Midrash HaTorah Dreshes Bahem. Does the Din only apply Mikana Lahabor, or do we say it's a Gloy Milson Lamafred? This was always a Din from the days of Maimon HaSinai. So a lot of Achrayim say the Din is only Mikana Lahabor. the Bezdin has a right to be mechadish a new din deraisa. Not if they come up with a new din derabanan, of course it's only mikana labo. That's the famous rush when they asked gvina sakum, even though the cheese is kosher. So if you have cheese that was made before the main exam, that in your refrigerator, so that cheese you can eat. Whenever they came up with a new Issa Derabbanan, that's only Mikana Labo. Whatever was there from before is Mutter. But here they're reading the Pasuk in such a way, they're coming up with a Din Deraisa. So a lot of Achrayim, including the Chazon Ish, a lot of Achrayim are of the opinion, when a Bezdin comes up with a new Drosha, a new Din based on Midrash HaTorah and the Resh HaSpan, the Din only applies Mikana Labo. It's not that it's the glory of Milsa L'Mafreya, it's always so. That's what the Rama meant to say. Since the Torah Shabbat Peh is developed in every generation, you have machlokes and you have adding on more and more. So that's why you can't include this in the Taryag Mitzvahs, because it's going to be more than Taryag Mitzvahs. You're going to attempt to throw out some of the other Mitzvahs. You can only have Taryag. So that's why traditionally we assume that the Yontav of Chanukah is the Yontav of the Torah Shabbat Peh. Because of this issue, because the Shaila was whether the Shemin and the Beis HaMikdash is Tomei or not. And there was a big machlokes about that. So that depends. And the Nes was made ben Hashemayim because of the Psak HaMekubal in that generation. If it would have happened 75 years later, there wouldn't have been a Shaila. So that shows the koyach of the Torah Shabbat Peh. We should all celebrate Chanukah in good health and realize that the Torah Shabbat Peh is powerful. Okay?
Do you want to get over about it tomorrow morning, 8:20 Parsha, 9 o'clock in Halacha? Thank you.